Recording in progress. Okay, so previously on Ona. What's this Rav Ona? We saw the idea that it's mamish gazel. You're actually stealing. Why? Because, says the tour, it's mamish gazel, right? You're over on the Isra of Lo Tikzel, and that's also why you have to return it. The Grach al Hashas, Rav Chaim in Yeshurim, he suggested maybe the Torah is just being megaleh lanu. The Torah is just informing us that this type of agreement is not really agreement. Since, right, he didn't know that he's being cheated, and therefore he just never really agreed to it. Mimela, it's just regular gazel. Right? So it's not even so much that there's like a chiddush of the Torah saying this is usur and there and XYZ. The Torah is really just telling you, you might have thought that this counts as consent. This is not consent, right? Because it's not informed consent. Uninformed consent is no consent at all. Mimela, it's just done without your consent, and therefore you're stealing. It was a suggestion of Reb Chaim al Hashas. What's the nafkamina? Because the nafkamina would be, that would be usur to do this with a guy. Right? Because you're not allowed to steal from a guy. If Ona is just regular gazelle, and the Torah is just letting you know that this doesn't count as consent, so then it would be also usur to overcharge a guy. After number two, right? The Pnei Yeshua said it's Havale Ki Gazelle, because since you're over on the lav of Altoni Wishet Tachiv, Memela Karina and Bevehesh of Esagzeel. Right? So the Chaim al Hashas says, since the Torah made it usur, mimela the deal, right, the sale was invalidated, right? And since the sale has been invalidated because the Torah has disqualified it, the totsah is gezela. So it's not gezela b'maisa, it's gezela b'totsah, right? Because of the isur of Altoni. It's over here on this side, right, with the tour. The iser is lo tikzel. Over here, right, with the Pnei Yeshua, and what's the skana of Reb Chaim al Hashas is the iser is alton weishet achiv. The iser is iser ona. From the iser ona comes the iser of. Sorry, I'm just going to resize the window. From the iser of ona comes the iser leads to the totsa of geza. Okay, and then after me, since there's no iser of altonu ish. Et ben adam, right? It's altodu ish et achiv. It's a special iser that you can't be, you can't do ona, you can't overcharge your brother. Mimila, that creates the iser gezel, but to a guy who you don't have that iser to, there's no din of gezel, right? Because it's not also because of gezel. Once it's usser, the totsa becomes gezel. Okay. We also pointed out that that's, there's like a little bit of like a slightly different way to formulate that, which is less that because it's usur, mimela, right, it creates, it's now gazel because you took his stuff, right? But it's really that the isur is altonu, right? The money, now you have to return, right? And mimela, the din of the Heshav HaSag Zela applies because you have someone else's money. It's a little bit different, meaning like you have like three stages. You have the idea that it's really just gazelle because there's no consent and you just didn't know that until the Torah let you know, but happens to be, it's just regular gazelle. You have the idea that it's usur because of altonu and therefore taking it is gazelle, right? So the maisa is still gazelle at the end, or there still is real gazelle. The object is, you know, there's a totsah, let's say, of gazelle. The third option, which could be also what the Pnei Yeshua is really going for, is kivan de over belav karinan bay beheshav esek zela. It's not that it is gazel. It's only pig gazel. Even betotsa is not actually gazel. But the chiyuv of beheshav esek zela applies, even though it's not gazel. Right? So yeah, this belongs to the other person. You have it unjustly. Since you have it unjustly, mainly you have to return it. But that is a different din than it being gezel b'totsah. It's not even really gezel at the end of the day. Just the chiyuv of a heshav esek zela applies because you have it, you know, in unfairly. Okay. Then we saw the Reb Chaim al Rambam, right, who says it's not that it's a din gezel, right? It's a totally, the din of tashlumin is an independent din. It's nothing to do with vehesar asagdila shagata. You have to return it, right? Because that's gufa, the whole iser. The mitzvah is to return it. The din is that you have to return ona. Right? It turns out, you deceived this guy, now you have to give it back. Right? But that's gufa, the mitzvah. Right? It's not that the mitzvah says you shouldn't have taken it, and now that leads us to the totsah of vehesar asagdila, or the totsah of gazel. The mitzvah is return the ona. Return what you overcharged. Okay? On the similar, but like, again, a flip, both of these are right. No, it's not about gazelle. It's something different. What that something different is, we're gonna get into. The Ramban, right, says the Isser is to do the action of ona, the action of overcharging, right? And the Tashlumin is a separate din. But the real Isser is the overcharging. Okay? It's not because it's not gazelle. It doesn't have a totsah of gazelle. Right? There's no gazelle involved. But the ikar is the iser to do ona, to take ona. And then separately, there's sometimes a chiv to return. It's the same as Reb Chaim, but it's just like the parallel opposite, where because Reb Chaim is kind of saying the ikar is the chiv hashava and tashlumin, where the Ramban is saying the ikar is the iser to take it, and you never really need to return it. I mean, you do lamaisa, right? But that's like a separate thing. Okay? So for the Ramban, it totally takes it out of the realm of the monetary. Right? It's not really a monetary din at all. Right? For Reb Chaim, I wouldn't say it totally leaves the realm of like dinim mamonis on some level, because the ikar chiyuv is a tashlumin, right? Our focus is still on the money. Now, it could be, this is like very hypothetical, but it could be from the Ramban, let's say, the main iser is on the onam, how you're treating your fellow man, atonu ishet achiv, right? You have a responsibility to your fellow Jew to take care of him, oppressing him, right? Or right, you know, hurting him financially is a problem. And that brings us into the realm of like the haftar reacha kamocha and things like that, right? Almost like a real, like, lifnei iver lo titen michshol, idea, right? Like, don't actually hurt him. So here it's a financial damage, but it's, again, it's taking advantage of him. It's not treating him with the achva and the haftar reacha kamocha that we demand. The idea that you have to pay back is like a separate din, right? The real iser is how you're treating him. Al tonu ishet achiv. Right? Something that's nice about that is that also works well with the fact that there's another type of ona called onas dvarim, which is about treating people not nicely, right? According to Reb Chaim here, it's a din tashlumen, right? It could be less focused on the impact it has, or actually, I'm not sure. It could be one of two things. It could be focused totally on you, like, oh, you took this money. This is not the way you should be trying to get money. Because this is not the appropriate way to make money, we make you give it back, right? Oh, and therefore it's almost like this is like a bad business practices, and therefore we make sure you don't like profit out of it, even though there's no gezel, right? There's almost no victim, right? But we don't want you to be successful in this sort of like bad business practice. Or the opposite, you didn't do any gezel, right? But what you've done is you've totally like disrespected your responsibility toward this other person. So the whole chiyuv is to now go take care of him and like get his money, right? It wasn't gezel. There was no financial misdemeanor, but there was a failure on your, let's say, duty of care, like take care of this other person. And that leads to the monetary result, which would be very similar to their own back, okay? Because they're formulated so differently, I'm kind of inclined to see their claim as being different. Okay, let's continue. That's what we have so far. Okay, so we have these two ideas, right? We have this, it's gezel, it's isurei mamon, or we have this idea that no, it's not about the mamon, it's about ona, it's about the altonu ishet achiv, shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't have been treating your brother this way. right? And it's a different type of iser than your classic gezeilos. It says sefer achinoch. Anyway, very interesting formulation. Shelul lehono zechad miyisrael bin zechar bin akeva b'mekachu memkar. There's right. That's mitzvah shel lamtzanim. The o darshu b'zeh akasov im bata liknot kane miyisrael shenemar o kana miyara mitecha. There's another drasha that comes out of this pasuk. That if you're going to buy, right, try to buy from a fellow Jew, right? Shurish mitzvah yedua ki hu davar shakol meir alav bim lo nichtav din hu sheikatev. Right, she in ra'oi lekachad mamon bnei adam derech sheker v'tamit. Ela kol echad yizkeh be'amalo b'mash sheyichanenu elokim b'olamo be'emet u'biyosher. Right, she says, what's this idea? It says, right, you know, this is like a self-explanatory. Right, you should only really make money, right, in an honest way. Right, you should be honest in your business dealings. And everyone wins when we're honest in business. Just like he won't cheat other people then won't cheat you. Right? If we build a society of honesty, right, we all end up winning because we all end up not getting cheated. And unless it's some guy's like, wait, I'm really good at cheating people. You know, you think you're good? I'm really good at cheating people. Ulay banav lo yu kain v'yirmu otam b'nei adam. Right, but then his children, his grandchildren, are going to get cheated. V'nimtza shadvarim shavim l'kol v'hu to'elet rav b'yishuvo shalom. Right, so honesty is just a critical part of creating a real society. V'Hashem baruch hu l'shevet yatzaro, and Hashem wants the world to be populated and to be a civilized, you know, developed place. But less than a shtut, less than a six, the Chachamim said you're allowed to lihishtaker l'tagarim. Why? Mipnei tikun ha'yishuv sheyimtzu bnei adam tzorchehem mukhanim b'chol makom. So what? So less than a six, Chachamim say that you're allowed to lechatchila overcharge up to a sixth of its value, so that the merchants will make a profit, right? And why? Why is that important? That's good for society. Right? Because if you have a free market, then what you end up having is you have people, right, will make money off of providing supply when there's demand, right? And therefore, you'll have, you know, the things that you need when you need it. Right, so by allowing, we want there to be a margin of profit, like a significant profit margin, right? And we also want there to be room for competition, right? But right, within reason, within a certain range, which also makes sure that people aren't being cheated, and that people are being honest, right, and respectful to one another. Okay, so how do you explain this Sefer HaChinuch? Where do you put him?
I definitely put him on the din mipnei atzmo part of the chart, but and Tehila mentioned this during our chavrusa that I guess due to the nature of this book, like he's trying to give tamim. So in his time, he's essentially saying like it's almost common sense or like the way of the world. So it's not coming from Gezel or a din of finance. No, it's almost like coming from common sense, which is that's how I was understanding it. And it's interesting.
I kind of want to put him in like a third category, like not Gezel, but also not quite like a Ben Adam Chavero thing either.
Right. I mean, to add on to our Chalas thing, we were trying to discuss to what extent this can be some subset of like Dine Mekachu Memkar, or whether it's just some sort of like societal concern outside of the way business is conducted, because it sounds like rules for conducting a business, but it doesn't sound like anything you'd find in Choshen Mishpat.
Right. Yes. So I also thought that. I mean, he's very interesting because when he starts off with this idea, right, in Basa Liknos Kenem Yisrael, which is very much this idea of like Vahaftu Echa Kamocha and your responsibility to the other person, right? Then he goes into like, oh, because other, you don't even need to tell me this, really. Right? You shouldn't cheat and steal from people. Kind of which would then push us into the like, oh, it's like in any moment it's cheating, it's stealing, it might not be gezel mamish, but it's like the ain gezel, right? But then he kind of comes back this idea of like, oh, but it's not like, you know, any overcharging is something that monetarily you don't have the rights to, right? Because, you know, up to a six, we actually allow you to do this. That's just good business, right? That's capitalism for you. We have regulated capitalism, right? The Sefer HaChinuch is actually just a very good statement of the idea of, you know, of a regulated free market, right? You have a free market, that's right. Supply and demand is important. The idea that people can make a profit and that leads to, right, reasonable supply chains is true, is good. We also want them to be regulated because we want to build a just society where people aren't being cheated and taken advantage of, right? So I think there's this idea of this sort of like, it's a din in society almost, like on the individual person level, right? It's you, the person who is doing it, are doing something wrong. You're also like kind of hurting the other person, but it's part of this general bigger idea of, right, of like the market and our society and how our markets should be run, right? Like this idea, like there's, it's tzedek, but it's like tzedek bashuk. It's kind of this like in between situation, and actually a bit in between. You guys, I think you're absolutely right, right? It's, you want a shuk chavshi, you want a free market, but it needs to be just, right, and moral, and it needs to involve like this sort of social awareness of taking care of your fellow man and your responsibility to them, right? So it's the idea of like honesty, but in the market. So it's this combination of like the market and honesty. So it's not just like this personal v'haftaracha kamocha, but it's not really the financial midin gezel ini mamonistin, right? It's some of this idea about like a, you know, a moral market. Ooh, a moral market. I like that idea. That could be like a good economic theory. You know, the moral market. Yeah.
The whole idea of the tikkun, I forget what phrase he uses. He uses tikkun olam. He uses tikkun something else. Yeah. Those often are in a very financial or like business related setting.
Yeah. Tikkun HaYishuv is usually about like the idea that, you know, we want people to have food. We want, you know, the society to function well, right? And well in a very practical financial resources security sense, usually. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's really cool. It's like we want, right, what was it? And tzedek, MS and tzedek in the shuk. But we also want tikkun HaYishuv, right? We want this idea, I guess, again, this idea of like, we want to balance like social justice and things like that with the necessities of maintaining a functioning and vibrant, let's say, economy, right? And those two, right, can go together. They should go together. And that's exactly what, you know, what we're trying, the sort of the balance that we're trying to hit. Yeah. Tikkun HaYishuv is that sort of like, we want society on a practical financial security level to function. Okay. Yeah. Just like as the Sifra, right, which just emphasizes it, where the Sefer HaChinuch gets it. Minanchu mocher lo tiyeh mocher ele lamitecha. Hamolom revichitim karum em kar lamitecha. Minan kishu kone le tiyeh kone ele miyad amitecha. Hamolom ar okana miyad amitecha. You should buy from your fellow Jew. In the other karka, oh, shubin dibarak. Tzuv menein lor abos evar metaltim. Right, hamolom revim kar lor abot evar metaltim. So the Sefra, right, just has this drasha, you know, which standing alone, in the context of the Sefer HaChinuch, right, it was part of this idea of like, oh, a moral market, right? That includes concern and your duty of care towards your fellow man. Alone, it sounds just like a dinachva, right? You can't take advantage of your brother by overcharging him. You should also go out of your way to help him out and support him financially by giving him your business, right? But if you just look at it that alone, then it's very much this idea, this din achva, right? That you should be tikkun miyad achicha. So if you're supposed to go out of your way and buy from him to support him, kal vachomer, you shouldn't try to overcharge him and cheat him, right? Okay. One nafkumina of all this, right? What about ona lepruta? So let's say you're dealing with something of very minimal value, okay? So let's say you have something that's worth like three, like a pruta, right? Or a pruta and a half. Is there ona for something that's small? Or let's say the ona itself only comes out to like a pruta. Is there ona for something that small? Now, why would you say yes? Why would you say no?
Gezel. Wouldn't there be no? Because there's no gezel pachat mipruta.
Right. But once you have a pruta, then it would be, right? I mean, the rule of gezel exactly is exactly one pruta. So if it needs to be, if it's more than a pruta, then gezel should apply, right? And there's no heter to steal, two pruta. Right? Once it's a pruta, it's bichlal the din of gezel. Even less than pruta might be, but you just don't have to pay back. Right, so pruta should be the shear if we're talking about gezel. If we're talking about your responsibility for the well-being of your brother, your fellow man, etc., what would you say? So Natan, I think, was saying also that if it applies even less than a pruta, then that could be because of the din of achva. Right? Could you also? What else can you say? It would be the opposite. But also, I think, logically compelling.
You're saying midin achva, even a pruta, would be considered ona?
No, I would say midin achva, maybe a pruta isn't enough to trigger my duty of care. Right? If you're going to get gypped out of $1,000, then maybe I have responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen. If you're going to lose, 5 cents, then maybe my duty of care or my responsibility to my fellow man or my sense of justice doesn't need to get triggered. Mm. Right? Meaning if the more that it's a moral issue, the more that it might be dependent on the significance of the transaction. If it's a purely financial issue, then once where we've reached the threshold of money, right, of a pruta, it doesn't really matter whether or not it's a big deal or not, right? That's what I think. But let's see, this is Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ritana machlokas chamish prutim." Listen, nami ona bepruta, that ona, the shear of ona is a pruta. Amar Rav Kana zos omeres in ona leprutas. The Rav Kana says no. Right, there's no ona if it comes out to just prutas, right? If it's small change, then there's no din of ona. The Levi Omer yesh ona leprutos. So I would say like this: Levi says once you hit the threshold of a pruta, says the Rash. Levi Omer yesh ona leprutos. Kasev Ravalfis to leisalach givase. So the Rash says, shame the riff, that we don't pass in like Levi, right? And that v'savaras Ravalfis mishum. The predecessor of the Ramban in Barcelona. The Tanya Kivase the Kaman, Paskins Halacha like Levi. Why? He says, right, it's Levi, the heavy bechal gezel. In this Mishnah of what things have a shear of pruta, so included there is gezel. Right? The shear of gezel is a pruta. So says the Rush, why does the Mishnah not mention that Yesho not leprutos, because it's obvious. It already said that the shear of Gezel is a pruta. Mimela, I know that the shear of Ona is going to be a pruta. Right? And then was going to skip the rest because he's just getting into the shock of the Gemara. But says the Rush, the machlokas of the Rif and the Yad Maram. The Rif paskins like Levi. Sorry, like Rav Kahana, because the Gemara says that the Mishnah is like Rav Kahana, right? But he says, Ramira Levi paskins like Levi, who says Yesh ona leprutos, okay, that the shear of ona is a pruta, basically. And the reason why that's not a problem with our Mishnah is because the Mishnah already said that Gezel's shear is a pruta. So I don't need to say ona separately, right? So clearly, right? Clearly, according to Levi, at least according to the way the Rush is taking it, Levi says ona is midin Gezel. The Mela, if ona is midin Gezel, right? Then the shear pruta is going to apply, right? And the Rif, Rav Kahana, are going to say, no, it's an Isser Bifnei Atmo. And therefore, if it's not Chashav, there's no significant sale or no significant loss here, Mimila, you're not going to apply Ona. So Ona might require a more significant amount of money. Yeah, the Torah's Chaim near the Farish. Ona lo dami legezo. The Shir Ona lad besacha Ona talia. Ela b'shir hamekach ho amos. Shemu pachos mishtoros lamekach afilu nisane b'mea slime. Ino tzarech lahachzir. Wait a second. It can just be that Ona is like just gezo. Because if the percentage is like, let's say, 15%, then you don't have to return it. Even if it was like $100 or $1,000, right? If the percentage was, you know, was less than a sixth, right? But if it was only a dinar echad, right? It depends on people's psychology and not necessarily about the amount of money. Okay? So he says, you see from these dinim of Ona that Ona goes after, is dependent on the fact that it's like a mekach chashuv and that it's a chashuv proportion of the mekach. And kiva delav mekach chashuv, it just wouldn't apply if it's only prutos. If it's small change, then it doesn't apply. He doesn't explain why that should be true. But I think our answer is if it's about your duty of care to your fellow Jew, right, it's your responsibility to take care of your fellow man. Then mimela, that only applies, or that's only triggered, right, if this is a failure in your duty of care. But if it's like small change, right, and there's no v'ahavta l'racha kamocha problem, or you have a responsibility to take care of your fellow man, right, if it's so small, and you don't have to return it. All right, that's one after. Another naftamina. What about ona from a baal bais? Let's say the person selling things is selling his own personal possessions. Okay, you're not selling merchandise. You're selling, I don't know, you're selling your, I'm trying to think of things that we sell. We don't really sell things. I don't know, let's say you're selling your used phone because you bought an expensive phone and then, you know, I don't know, tuition went up and now you're like, shoot, I need to sell my phone in order to, you know, pay the bills or something. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, one second. What do we think? Let's say you're selling your own private, you know, things that they're not on the market, let's say. Right? You're not, in general, you're not like, this isn't merchandise that's up for selling. Let's say someone comes to you and says, oh, wow, that's like an amazing, you know, I think of something that you'd have, it would be amazing. That would be, I don't know. It's an amazing sweater. It's super great. I love it so much. I actually went to the same exact sniff, I don't know, Bnei Akiva, whatever, and I lost my sweater, and it was like the most important thing to me. and I really want to buy your sweater off of you. Now, your sweater cost you how much? Like, you know, $10 or whatever, right? You got it for free at the end of the summer, whatever it was. Now, this person wants to buy it off of you. Can you say, like, well, it's my Akiva sweater. I don't really want to sell it. Like, yes, if you, like, offer me, like, $500, I will. What do you think?
Can there be market value for sentimentality?
Yeah, right? So one question is, like, is there market value for sentimentality, or for this object doesn't necessarily have a market value because it's not really on the market, right? It's not really for sale. This person is trying to convince you to sell it, but one is it's not really on the market, and two is, like, you know, it has sentimental value, and that maybe has value as well. Yeah. So I think the more we want to peg it to, like, a market value, the more we would say, well, this might not necessarily have, like, market value. The more we want to say that it's, let's say maybe your duty to care to somebody else, you'd have to explain. You could say, well, okay, but you still have to, can't really take advantage of this person, or you can explain it some other way. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Lokeach mi'bala bayis in lo lavona." If you're buying something from the Baal Bayis, buying it from a homeowner,
right,
or someone who's not a merchant, right? You're buying someone's private possessions in lo lavona. There's no din ona. I also quit that because the Malay lashon ela b'lokeach min atagar b'lokeach mi'bala bayis in lo lavona. Okay, why? Because mani ditashmishte diakiri ale, someone's actual possessions that they use, right? Lo mazvin lahu ilav bidami yaseri. Okay, someone's personal possessions that they actually use are yikiri ale, are extra value to him, right? The sentimental value that Chaya was pointing out is mashpur chizda says, and therefore he's only going to sell it for bidami yaseri. So Rashi says, anything you buy from Baal Bayis, tachshitinu klei tashmish shelo chavivin alav, his personal items that he personally uses, his jewelry, klei tashmish, things that they actually use. Ve'ino mochran ela biyoker, v'havalei kimifareish yodea ani sheyesh ba'ona. So it's as if the Baal Bayis explicitly said, I'm selling this to you for more than the market value. If they make it explicit that they're selling it for more than the market value, then there's no din of ona. And that's what I found in Rav Chai Sholtos. So what happens is, says Rashi, it's as if you made it explicit that you're overcharging. Okay? Now that's a little different than what we were saying a minute ago. Right? Rashi's saying, it's as if you explicitly said that you're going to charge extra. And it's like you made a chenai, right? That you're selling it even though it's more than ona, right? If both parties agree explicitly that they're going to charge more, right, then that's okay. So the Rosh, however, right, says the lokach mibal bayis in lo ona mistabra daf guy shtus. He says no, this it's only good, acceptable, right? Until a shtus, right? Why dechi amar hachi dumi dehanach detreya of di aval bias mishas lo, right? Why lumi lo dumi ridhasam pireish behedya. If you make it explicit, then it doesn't apply. Aval hachi daila nushinomar heavy kimefarish as just below bedaver mufla. So it says, oh wait a second, it can't be too much above the price because you didn't actually say it explicitly. Okay. So to say, like, oh, it's as if you made it explicit, that only works up to a certain range, right? Meaning you're saying you're charging extra. But if you're charging, like, double, triple, unless you actually say that, we can't assume that the buyer knows that you're, like, going to ask triple for it. They're going to assume, like, oh, you're going to charge a premium. V'irali, kivan detayim ha-mishem dehevi kimifarish, sarach sheyeda hakonesh ha-mocher hu ba'al ha-bayis. Says the Rosh, and since this whole thing is built on the svara of actually knowing, of actually being mefarish and being like, oh, we know that this isn't worth X amount, but we're doing it anyway because we want to. So the guy who's buying needs to know that you're a Baal HaBayis. Right? He needs to know that he's being overcharged. Why? Because otherwise it's not Kimifarish, right? If you don't know the person you're buying from is a Baal HaBayis, is selling his private assets, or his private possession, then you don't know that he's going to charge a premium for the fact that they're his personal items, right? Yeah, hi.
Sorry, I'm not sure if I just missed something or I just haven't heard. In this context, you're using Baal HaBayis to mean like a homeowner as distinct from a business owner, that it's their personal.
Correct.
Okay. Is that a common thing that I just haven't encountered?
No, it's like a specific.
Okay.
Specific usage here. Yeah.
It is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because normally Baal HaBayis is like, especially the way in modern parlance we use it, can mean like someone with a job. You know, so it's.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't, wasn't even thinking about that. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's even worse now because like that's actually how we use it. But the Gemara here is explicitly distinguishing between like a tagar, a merchant, and a Baal HaBayis who he's a farmer, you know, but he's selling now something. He's selling his shirt or his spare shirt or whatever.
Oh, okay. That must have gone over my head. Okay, thank you.
So the Rush says, since the whole vort is that it's if he explicitly said, I'm selling this for extra, right? Therefore, the other person actually needs to know because the whole point is that it's as if we explicitly made it clear that we're selling it for more, right? Now, what logic does this kind of depend on? Yeah, Rachel.
I don't know if this is what you're getting at, but I thought when we were trying to distinguish between mekach talis and onah, you were saying that mekach talis is in a case where it's not explicit, and onah would be an explicit sale where you know you're being overcharged. So I guess my question is then why?
No, mekach talis is where the parameters of the agreement do not match the actual items being sold. Potentially, you can argue that at some point, onah reaches that threshold where the price and the item that you're paying for are so mismatched that it's the parameters of what you're buying and what you agreed to buy are two different things. But really the point is that by mekach talis, the parameters of the agreement don't match the reality on the facts on the ground. Onah is where you get the item that you agreed to at the price you agreed to, right? He's just charging you significantly above the market price.
Okay, but it's not explicit that he's charging you above it. Okay, that's what
exactly. I see. If it's explicit, if you both come and you say, look, I'm going to sell you Twitter, and the guy's like, great, I'd love to buy your Twitter. And then he's like, okay, but I want you to pay. If you want to buy the Twitter, you got to pay us an extra couple of billion, right? And like, how many more billion? It's like, I want you to pay 20% above market price, right? So that's a fifth. That's enough, right? And if the guy happens to be a billionaire, right, and he's like, I'd love to pay 20% above market price. It'd be fantastical. It'd be magical. I'll do it, right? Then there's no problem. There's no onah there, okay? So if you actually make it explicit, you know, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Tila.
How does that fit with like a Rav Chaim style shita where it's just a Din Torah and it's not about like Mekach Memkar principles?
Oh, exactly.
You override the Din Torah by personal preference?
Wait, which Reb Chaim?
I'm thinking more specifically on the Rambam.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Because the way I understood it is that, like, it's just a Din Torah that at a certain point you call it onah, and there's an issue, and you have to be Machzir Kesef, and there isn't necessarily logic behind it. It's just kind of how it works. So how can you, like, personal agreement, Mechila, I'm not sure how that would fit into that kind of Shita.
Right. So I think in that type of Shita, what would happen is that ultimately we just say that since the two parties agree to it, it's no worse than giving someone else a matana, right? Just like you can give someone money for free, you can be like, I'm giving you a matana of X amount of money, with your full consent and knowledge, you can give other people your money. And if you want to make a sale for whatever amounts of money, you can. Now, there could be issues of, let's say, you know, one of them really, really needs it and they need it desperately now, right? There's like the, there's like this case in the Gemara about, like, you know, someone needs to cross the river and, like, you know, because the, you know, I don't know, the bandits are chasing after him and the ferryman is there and he's like, oh, sorry, prices went up like 5 minutes ago. Now it costs $1,000 to cross the river, but you should probably pay it because, you know, those bandits are about to get you, you know, and he says, sure, I'll pay it. So that's a little different than, you know, than a standard case where someone wants to buy a tweeter.
So I get that, but I don't know, maybe there's just a lack of understanding for me in terms of like Rav Chaim Shita. But as far as I'm concerned, if we're just going to say it's like a Din Torah and it's an Isser, do you get to reason with it in terms of like when it applies and when it doesn't? Or do we just say that every time that there's, you overcharge a certain amount, it's just an Isser?
I think if it's there's this Din, the Gemara actually brings it up explicitly in connection with this. There's this question of Tanai Devar Shebimamon, where I think it's Rabbi Meir says, anytime you make, or Rabbi Huda, I actually forget who says what. Maybe it's Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says, anytime you have a Tanai Shebimamon, you're allowed to make a Tanai that contradicts the Torah when it comes to a Devar Shebimamon, because Mimela, you could just transfer the funds. Right? Let's say the Torah says, I'm chayiv you $10, right? I could sell you $10. I'm chayiv you $10, right? So you could sell me $10, and then I could sell you $10 to Mekayim the Chiyuv HaTorah, right? You owe me $5. Torah says you're supposed to give me $5. Then I say, right, and then I'm like, okay, you know what? You don't have to give me the $5. And you're like, well, Torah says I have to give you $5. I'm like, great, here's $5. I give you $5. It's a matana. Now it's your $5. Then you give me back those $5. Boom. Now you just were Mekayim your Chiyuv to give the $5. Right? So Mimela, I think it's a Rehuda who says, anytime it's a purely financial, the actual din ends up being purely financial, or in terms of the financial monetary amounts, you have flexibility to override the din, because Mimela, you could just give a matana that contradicts or that, you know, counteracts that din. And you could just be mechayiv yourself to give X amount of money, right? So I would say if it's explicit, you can get out of that, right? Now, I think the rush here is actually consistent with his shita that any time, that what's the din? The idea is that monetarily, this object is only worth X amount, right? And this other person's consent to buy it, right, is flawed because he doesn't know that he's being overcharged, right? Maybe you're overcharging him. You're giving him, he's giving you X amount of money. You're giving him back, right, an object that's not worth X amount. He hasn't been given compensation, right, just compensation for his money. Maybe you're stealing from him, right? That's what the Rush said back in the Pruta section, right? Right? Look, Tani Masnitsin Ona, Matthias Levi, the heavy Bechal Gezel. Right? Because Ona is included in Gezel. So once your Ona is a Pruta, it's Gezel. Now, same thing. If you buy from Baal Bayis, it would be Gezel for the Baal Bayis to overcharge you. The fact that he's Baal Bayis shouldn't stop it from being Gezel, right? Mimela says the Rush, yeah. So what do you need to do? You need to make it very, very crystal clear that you're a Baal Bayis. So then he knows that you're a Baal Bayis. And then it's as if you explicitly agreed to it. But you can't just say it's like, oh, it's as if he agreed to it. Rashi's like very, you know, it's very, Rashi's like, oh, because it's as if. The Rashi says, no, you can't just be like, as if. You actually have to tell him, right? Because otherwise, you're stealing from him. Right? You don't have a lot of wiggle room if it comes to theft. How much is the object worth? How much money are you giving him? If you're giving him more money than the object's worth, then you're stealing unless you explicitly agree to that, right? Now, if you look at mother shitas. It's a hekshah, so the Rashba, right? Mocher damrinan inchi zavin over rima lo kamash. Well, hekshah, right? But kra lav bimani debala bias dehu leisle ona. Right? He says, wait a second, right? This is the sugya that this is as part of is its own sort of its own issue, okay? But I just want to pull out of it that the Ravid asked a question on the Gemara based on the fact that a Bala Bayis, right, objectively is just not included in Ona. It is objectively he's just not relevant to Ona. Therefore, the Torah could not have been referring to a Bala Bayis, right? Could only be talking about a Tagar. And a Tagar, a merchant, when he sells things, right, he's selling it to make a profit. Therefore, the logic that the Gemara is bringing up, that we generally say that people who have to sell their possessions are like poor soul, while the person buying is like, oh, lucky you, right? Because money you end up spending on like going to restaurants. But if you get like an object, then you have that object and you can use it forever, right? Because that's not true by a merchant, right? By a merchant, he wants to sell the object. That's how he's finance, right? And says the Ravid, the Torah in the Isser of Al Tonu Ishe Dachiv is only talking about a merchant, right? Now, for the Rush says, no, of course it applies to a Baal HaBayis, right? But says the Ravid says no, right? Of course, it doesn't apply to Baal HaBayis at all. Now, I think what that comes to, definitely according to the Sefer Chinuch, I think that actually makes a lot of sense, right? Because why? Right? When it comes to Baal HaBayis, if he bitol mekach enlo di'ilav di'yavi le'dam yaseri lo mazvin mane, he's only selling because you're offering him a lot of money. Otherwise, he just wouldn't sell. It's not on the market, right? So if you say, that a Baal HaBayis, you say the Baal HaBayis is just his stuff is not on the market, and it's about tzedek hashuk, right? It's about being just and honest in the marketplace. Well, the Baal HaBayis' stuff is not on the market, right? If it's about v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha and not taking advantage of your neighbor, you're not trying to take advantage of your neighbor. He wants to buy something that's special to you, right? Your personal proper items. So you only want to sell it if they're going to offer you a lot of money because it's your stuff, right? That's not taking advantage of anybody. If it's a financial monetary din, right, that for X object, you need to give X amount of money. And if you take more money, then you're taking his money, you're stealing. So then it doesn't matter who the person who's selling is, right? The math still doesn't add up. And that's exactly what the Rosh says, right? If the math doesn't add up, then you have to explicitly waive that, your rights to that extra money. Right? Says the Ravid, no, objectively, Baal HaBayis is just not included because his stuff is not on the market, right? Now, like a further expansion of this, the Mishnah says, "Oh, k'shem she'ona lehedyo kachona letagar." Just like a regular person could get cheated, a merchant can also be the cheated person. But Rabbi Yehuda says, "In ona letagar." Rabbi Yehuda says, "There's no ona when you're buying from a tagar." Meaning, this is a case where it's flipped. The buyer is paying less than the market price. Okay, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the tagar, the merchant definitely knows what the market price is. Right? This is his job. But achule achil gaben, he doesn't care. So why is he selling it under the market price? Mishum disram yalei zvinte achmini. He, right, just got wind of an amazing deal, but he needs cash. In order to get cash, he's willing to sell for less than the market value. Right, and now that he's selling it for less than the market value, it'll sell really quickly. He'll have cash on hand, and then he could jump on this other opportunity. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tagar in lo onam ibnei shubaki. So that, right, is a good a good example. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, Tagar, he knows, since he knows he's Mochel. Right? Okay, that makes sense. Right? Okay, financially, he knows he's not being deceived. But the Chachamim disagree. Is that because we don't know that he knows? Or is it because even if the Tagar knows that he's selling for less than the price, you're still taking advantage of, you know, of the fact that he needs cash on hand? Right? So we have is, if in Onah Ba'al Bayis, because objectively there's no Onah there, right? Because they're not on the market, because objectively he's just not included in the Isser. Or it's because, no, he knows, right? And we know, it's like almost as if it was made explicit. And there's mechila, right? This is dealing with the finances, I feel. While this is saying that, no, it's all about taking advantage right? And selling for more than the market price and corrupting the tzedek bashuk, right? The moral market. But if it's not on the market, right? Or if he's not taking advantage of you, right? Morally, there's no problem. If it's a financial din, though, then you have to explain how we got around the financial issues. And you have to say, mechila. Right? Okay. That's what I did. Okay, I think we should stop here. Yeah, we're going to stop here. Okay? I have questions, but this is a good...
Hey, there's Enonah Baal HaBayit. Is that both ways or only one way? If I'm the Baal HaBayit, I want to sell something cheaper.
Only one way.
Even though, even if you say it's just a general deen that doesn't apply for Baal HaBayit.
Yeah, well, the Rav is saying that Enonah Baal HaBayit HaMocher Nechasav, because they're like, either because they're not on the market, or because, you know, he's only going to sell it and overcome that great, you know, that personal sentimental value if you're going to offer him a lot of money.
I just, if it's like a deen that's written in Torah and it's like not about mechila, it sounds like it should go both ways. Like
the Torah only made on that. Meaning when the Baal HaBayit buys stuff, right, or sells stuff, I mean, he's not exempt from the idea that, I mean, if he's stop selling stuff, so it would be a problem for the merchant who's, let's say, buying, or someone other Baal HaBayit who's buying, to take advantage and pay him less than its value, right?
If it's just based on taking advantage, shouldn't it be all just based on financial gains?
No, because if it's financial, it's saying this object is worth X amount. If you pay less, then you just didn't pay for the object, right? If it's moral, then it's saying, you know, are you taking advantage of someone or not? If you were to sell, you know, if you were, I don't know, selling, or you're in the marketplace to buy a sweatshirt, and it just happens to be that the person selling was a Baal HaBayit instead of a tagar, paying him less, right, I think would be immoral.
But morally, then you're also not taking advantage of the tagar because he's willing to sell for less in the marketplace.
Yeah, but only because he really needs the money now, right?
Yeah, so why does it matter that if he wants the money, he's willing to sell it for less?
Right, but you...
Morally.
No, because I think, I mean, first of all, you can make that argument. I think that is a reasonable argument. But where Yehuda at least argues is that, first of all, it could be that if he says it explicitly in a Hanami, right? But the Chachamim say, you know, Yehuda says, yeah, he knows how much it's worth and he's mocha. The Chachamim argue, it could be because, well, he didn't say that explicitly, or it could be because, yeah, you're right that he needs to sell off because he needs the cash on hand. But just because he needs the cash on hand now doesn't mean that gives you the right to buy his merchandise for less than the actual value. Right, I mean, he's kind of in a, let's say he needs cash on hand because he needs to pay his supplier, right? Or he just got a big tax bill or whatever. In those cases, he's more desperate, but that doesn't mean that his stuff is less valuable, right? Or that you therefore like need it less.
So when can you not then go to a sale, like where a store's going out of business, so like everything's super reduced on clearance?
I know, and everything must go sale. First of all, that's explicit, right? But number two is the reason they're selling it for so low because they want you to buy it even though you don't need it, right? Because they want to get rid of everything. And you don't necessarily need it, but they want to get rid of it all. So it's like, okay, get people who don't need it to buy it, right? Now, if it may, and again, remember, if it's made explicit, it's always okay. But it has to be explicit.
Got it.
Shukah.
I was going to ask a question. This has to do a lot with